The Lord be with you. Jesus heals 10 men with a skin disease. They would have called it leprosy, no matter what the actual condition was. But then Jesus says, were not 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Has only this one come to give glory to God, and he a foreigner? Why does only one give glory to God and the other 9 not? To answer that question, I want you to imagine that you live in the first century, that you are a peasant living in Palestine, not too far from the Sea of Galilee. Your days are spent working in a field where you and your family grow barley. You've got a spouse, you've got 3 kids. It's a hard life, a simple life, but it is a good life, and you are basically happy. And then one day, as you're putting on your clothes in the morning, you notice there's a white spot on your arm. And you get a little nervous, but you don't say anything to anyone except that evening when you take off your clothes, your spouse notices that white spot also. And your spouse has a look of fear in their eyes. Because maybe that white spot is leprosy. Maybe it's something contagious. And so the two of you sit down before you go to bed, and you agree that in the morning you're going to go to the local priest. Not the big fancy priest down in Jerusalem in the temple, but the sort of low-ranking priest who has to make a living out in a village somewhere. You're going to go to that priest, not in hopes of being healed, but to find out whether or not you are clean. Because you know there is a difference between being healthy and being clean. To be healthy is to be physically whole, but to be clean is to be socially whole. To be clean is to have a place in society, and right now, you may not be physically healthy, but right now, as far as society is concerned, you're clean. You can go wherever you want and chat. You can be a part of the synagogue or go to the temple, but that might change. Now, on the other hand, you know there's plenty of people out in this world who are perfectly healthy physically, but are unclean socially. Those folks are like the Samaritans who live in the next village over. Those Samaritans, they used to be Hebrew like you, but hundreds of years ago they were conquered by the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrians mixed them with other countries, and so their heritage isn't pure anymore. And not only that, they got religion all wrong. You see, they think instead of worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem, they should worship on a mountain not too far from here. They also only recognize the first 5 books of the Bible, which isn't nearly enough. And so because of that, no matter how physically well those Samaritans are, they are socially unclean. You'd never let your daughter marry one of them. You don't go to their villages. You don't share food with them. You don't even touch them, because to do so would make you unclean also. You know there's a difference between healthy and clean, and you're going to go find out if you are clean tomorrow. And so in the morning, you wake up, and you go to the priest, and you explain what's going on, and very gingerly, the priest lifts up your robe and takes a look. And he reads from Leviticus chapter 13 all the things that he's supposed to look for. He looks to see what color the hair in that section of your skin is, and sees if the discoloration goes under the flesh. And eventually, he pokes and prods you enough, and he says, yep, you're unclean. And then he recites to you Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. The person who has the defiling disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head be disheveled, and he shall cover his upper lip. Yeah, like you do when you wear a mask. Yeah, because they know bad breath spreads something. And you shall cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. The priest tells you, socially, you are dead. You got to wear clothes and have your hair in such a way that at a distance people know to steer clear of you. You got to yell unclean so people don't think they can get too close to you. But worst of all, you can't live in your village anymore. You can't live in your home. You can't kiss your spouse. You can't hold your kids. You are cast out. And so you go and you start to live on the edge of town and you try to survive on the scraps that are left out for you. But here's the thing. Your village is barely making it by as they are, and now you can't contribute in the farm, and so they don't have a bunch of extra food to feed you. You know you got to start looking other places for food, but that means now you don't even get to see your kids every day, even from a distance. You start wandering from village to village, hoping that they'll leave out scraps for you to eat also. And as you go from village to village, there are other people you see dressed in rags, disheveled in their hair, shouting unclean also. And you say, well, they're unclean, but so am I. Maybe we could be unclean together. And so slowly you start picking up all these other outcasts, wandering from village to village together, and it starts off just two of you, and then three, and then four, and eventually there gets to be 10 of you. And maybe each of you, your skin is a little different. Maybe you don't have the same disease. But you're all outcasts together. And in the first century, like on 17th century pirate ships and 21st century high school cafeterias, all the outcasts, all the loners, end up gathering together and forming a community of their own. Because you know what? You may not be able to see your family, you may not be able to see your old friends, but here is someone who understands. And yeah, maybe they got a different skin disease, maybe that guy's a Samaritan, but who cares? You are all you have, and over time, these people become to feel more like family than the people you used to live with. Until one day, you hear that the rabbi Jesus is headed your way. You've heard rumors about this guy, that he can heal anyone. And so the 10 of you agree, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get as close to the city he's headed to as possible, and then we're going to shout out to him for help. And that's exactly what you do. You shout out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he looks at you, and he says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And you think to yourself for a moment, well, I wanted to be healed. But then you think, why would he send me to the priests unless the priests could declare me clean? Because here's the thing, you know there's a difference between being healthy and being clean. And you look under your robe and sure enough, that spot is gone. But you can't go home yet. You can't go hug your wife and your kids. In their eyes, you're still unclean. You have to go to the priest and get that mark of approval. It's like a two-week process, but you're going to go do it. You start running, all 10 of you, you start running towards the town. You're so excited to see that priest as soon as you can. But one of you hangs back and shouts out, wait, guys, wait. You're not stopping for that guy. This is your chance. You're going to take it. You go to the priest, and sure enough, the priest looks under your robe and reads Leviticus 14 and says, all right, here's the sacrifices you got to make. You got to shave. You got to bathe. You got to quarantine for another week. You're going to be good. You're so excited. All the others who were in your band, you get together and you say, we should have a big party with our families. And that's exactly what you do. And you hug your kids and you kiss your spouse and you tell them how happy you are to see you, and you start regaling them with tales of all the things you did together, and they say, that's so great. I'm so glad to meet these people who stuck by you with thick and thin. And then they count and they say, wait a minute, I thought you said there were 10 of you. Why are there only 9 here? And all 9 of you pause for a moment and you think about that. And you realize that one person who shouted, wait, that guy was the Samaritan. He might have been healed, but he wouldn't run into a Jewish village to go see a Jewish priest, because that Jewish priest is going to say that man is unclean no matter how healthy he is. And you haven't seen him in the last 2 weeks since that moment. And the 9 of you kind of look at each other. And one of you finally says, no, there was only 9 of us. There was never 10. Friends, sometimes we think we're supposed to fit in because that's how the world is made to be. It's meant for us, for who we are. Sometimes, though, we know how easy it is for us to not fit in, to be the one on the outside, and we are so desperate to fit in, to be declared clean, that we will do anything to make sure we're on the inside. And we will leave anyone behind who might make us unclean by association, even if that person was like a brother to us. Today in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, we hear Paul say, if we deny Christ, he will deny us. To deny Christ in Paul's time wasn't to say, I don't think Jesus existed. No, no, they knew Jesus existed. To deny Christ was to deny that Jesus was the one who made you clean. You see, faith isn't having the right doctrines, it's not worshiping in the right place, it's not having the right number of books in your Bible. Faith is trusting that what makes you clean, what makes you acceptable, what gives you a place in this world and before God is not yourself, but Jesus. And I want to be clear, there are some times and some people who temporarily cannot be a part of all of society, right? There are people with contagious diseases. There are people who become violently dangerous, who need to be set apart from society as a whole. But faith is believing that each and every person is inherently clean in God's eyes. And so even if they can't be with the whole in this moment, some part of the body of Christ needs to continue to connect with them, which is why throughout the Middle Ages, up until the invention of penicillin, the church had leper colonies where priests and ministers would care for people with contagious skin diseases, often becoming infected themselves and dying. It is why churches were the ones who established hospitals in our society to care for the sick when no one else would. It is why there are prison ministries to say, yes, this person may be a danger to society, but God still loves them, and so someone needs to show up and say, in God's eyes, you are clean. But friends, Paul tells us, if we deny Christ, if we deny that it is Christ who makes us clean and claim it is just purely ourselves and what we have accomplished that earns our place in society, that Christ will deny us. Christ will let us create that reality if we really want to. We can be faithless. We can deny that Christ has made us clean and deserve a place in our church. We could build a congregation in which there are 70 steps to make it into the sanctuary. We could create a congregation in which we say, if you want communion, you have to be able to get to your chair and make it to the altar. We could create a congregation in which we say, if you want to hear the Word of God, you better show up Sunday at 9:30 or you don't get to hear anything. But there is a saying in the disability community that you are either disabled or temporarily abled. Because you might be fully healthy right now, but you won't always be. And if we create a congregation where you have to be at the top of your health to be fully included, the day will come when you need a cane or a walker or a wheelchair, and those 70 steps are going to say, I guess you're unclean. Where if you can't get out of your chair to receive the sacrament, the congregation, by its cold shoulder, says, I guess you're unclean. Where if because of your health or travel or work, you can't make it to church on Sunday morning, the congregation says, well, I guess you're unclean. We can create a country in which we are faithless, in which we deny Christ and claim that our place in society depends only on ourselves. There are conversations happening saying that maybe rights should only be for citizens And maybe citizens shouldn't be everyone who was born in this country, but maybe people only who have the right heritage or have the right religion. We can create such a society, but the moment we start giving away rights and saying that some people have a criteria to meet them and others don't, we create a situation in which someone can say to us, you don't meet that criteria anymore. We can even create a faith that is faithless. A faith that says your salvation is not accomplished by Christ, but by what you do, and you better have the right ideas and the right feelings and the right family. We can do that. We can live our lives afraid to show people what's really inside of us because they might find out that our thoughts don't always line up, that today we're not feeling the love of God deep down in my heart, that maybe my marriage isn't as strong as it looks and my child has discovered something about themselves that's not going to sit well with the rest of the church. We can create that world waiting until a priest says, you are unclean. But you know who will never call us unclean? Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, after Paul says, if we deny him, he will deny us, Paul goes on to say, if we are faithless, he is still faithful because he cannot deny himself. Friends, Jesus is the one in whom God wants to reconcile all of creation. Jesus is the one that God has sent into the world to declare each and every person clean. Jesus is the one who, to the soldiers who nail him to the cross, proclaims forgiveness. To Judas, who is about to betray him, he offers the body and blood of the Last Supper. Jesus is the one who, to 9 of his fellow countrymen who are infected as much by entitlement as by leprosy, Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest because he has made them clean also. And it is that Jesus, the Jesus who makes us clean not because of who we are but who he is, it is that Jesus in whom the Samaritan puts his faith. Because the Samaritan knows that he is and will always be in that community a foreigner. And the gift of being a foreigner is that he knows he cannot put his cleanliness in his heritage. He can't put it in his family. He can't put it in his faith. He can't even put it in himself. He will always be unclean in the eyes of that culture. And so he has to put his faith in the one who has declared him clean, not because of who he is, but because of who Christ is. And so the Samaritan praises God. He turns back from the other 9. He doesn't go to his family. He goes to Jesus. He falls down before him at his feet and thanks him. And Jesus says to this Samaritan, your faith has made you well. Now, friends, our translation says your faith has made you well, but that verb, to be made well in Greek, it's sozdo. Sozdo is the word that we will see over and over in the Bible every time it talks about Jesus saving us. Sozdo, it means to save. It means to preserve. It means to heal. It means to make well. Because, friends, our salvation isn't just whether or not we go to heaven or whether or not we go to hell. It is whether or not we are fully united with God. Whether there is anything that can say, nope, you don't deserve to be in God's presence. Friends, this Samaritan has a faith. And his faith is not that he worships in the right place, because he knows in Jesus' eyes he doesn't. It's not whether he's got the right number of books in the Bible, because he knows in Jesus' eyes it doesn't. His faith is that Jesus has made him clean because of who Jesus is. And when we have that assurance, that confidence, that it's not us who make ourselves clean, but Christ, nothing can shake that. Not on earth and not in the life to come. Because here's the thing, that Samaritan, maybe his leprosy relapses. Maybe he becomes unhealthy again in some other way, but no matter what, if his cleanliness is in Christ, He is clean forever. His family may say, you wandered around for years with those Jews. We don't want you anymore. We disown you. But if his cleanliness is in Christ, he is clean forever. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that he writes as in chains as a criminal, but he knows the word of God is not chained. The government can say, you don't deserve a place in our society. We're going to lock you up and throw away the key, which they're about to do. But he knows that he is clean, not for who he is, but because of who Christ is. And so he is clean forever. This is the faith that saves. The faith that when the devil smears all your sins in your face and says, look what you've done. Look, you deserve to be damned. You say, I am clean not because of who I am or what I have done. I am clean because of Christ. And I am clean forever. This is the faith that saves, a powerful and wondrous faith. And friends, sometimes it feels so hard to hold on to this faith. But the Samaritan shows us how. For the Samaritan, when he sees that he is healed, he begins praising God. He returns to Jesus' feet. He falls down and he thanks Jesus. The Greek word for giving thanks is Eucharist. Eucharist, if you don't know what that word is, it's the word we also use to describe communion. The breaking of bread, the sharing of a cup, trusting that it is truly God's, Jesus's body and blood given for us. Eucharist, friends, it's an act of thanksgiving because we receive the gift of Eucharist not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. It is a gift in which we are promised the forgiveness of our sins. It is a gift in which we are promised that we are united with Jesus. And because we are united with Jesus, we are united with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and with all the saints who have ever lived and who will ever live. It is the promise, friends, that you are clean. Friends, we receive the Eucharist. And then, as Jesus receives the thanksgiving of this Samaritan, he asks a question which we should ask, which is, and where is everyone who's not here sharing in this Eucharist? Why aren't they here? It is that question that led the builders of this building to build it with no steps, so that those who are in walkers and wheelchairs may be declared clean. It is that question which leads us to bring communion to people in their chairs or to take communion to people in their sick beds to say, we may not be able to heal you of your ailment, but we can declare in Christ that you are clean and that you have a place here. It is why our AV team streams this worship all over the world to say, no matter where you are clean, and we want to share Christ's love with you. It is why you will see this logo on our bulletins and on our website and on banners. It is a logo that stands for reconciling in Christ. In its center is the cross shaped like a person. It is Jesus, and there is a purple heart surrounding him, a purple heart of sacrifice and royalty, declaring that by the blood he shed on the cross, all are made clean. On one side, there is a rainbow of colors proclaiming to the LGBTQ community, you are clean. On the other side, there is pink and blue saying, male or female, all are one in Christ. There is white, brown, and black saying, every ethnicity and race, you are clean. This is our message. This is what we as a congregation are continually asking ourselves again and again and again. Who is not here sharing this Eucharist with us? Why? Who do we need to let know they are clean, that they have a place at our table? But friends, the Eucharist, Thanksgiving, isn't just something that we do together as a church on Sunday morning. May we as individuals give thanks each and every day when we have food, when we have a warm house, when we have a lovely family, when we have a safe country, when we have a faith that tells us that we are loved. May we say thank you and ask, who is it who does not have this yet? How can we make sure that they do? Friends, today you are the priests of Christ. You are priests of the one who has declared that you are clean, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. You are priests of the one who, even when we are faithless, he is faithful. May we go forth, and may the world know through us that they are clean also. Amen.